Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky back with you. Buck, it is a, what day is it? It's a Wednesday, right? They all start running together during this time of year. But man, we are, you say it every time, we are inching closer and closer. I just need this thing to hurry up and get here, man.
Yeah, we're 2 weeks away. We're 2 weeks away and there's a lot of conversation. We call this, the month of April is lying season because we can't get good answers from our guys on who's who and what's what. But, you know, I think the funny thing is the more that NFL news hits, the more it has an impact on the draft. We'll talk about some of these things, but I think we have to talk about it because Derek Carr signs the deal. Mm-hmm. And I think it's what, 3 year, $121.1 million in extension, puts him in the $40 million club. The Raiders, I didn't think were in the quarterback market, but it's another sign of the times in terms of where the quarterback tiers are. Mm-hmm. So if you have a good to, let's say very good, not good, very good to great quarterback, $40 million is the mark. Mm-hmm. And then there's this huge chasm in between. And I think what it's going to do, DJ, and we'll talk about it, is it's going to put people in a thing where you have to make real decisions on your quarterback. Your quarterback is either good enough to be great, or we need to find the next one. And I think you're going to see a position that is more transient than ever in terms of people moving on and off quarterbacks, because now the money is so high that you can't afford just to keep a guy just for the sake of saying, well, you know, he's better than quarterback. He starts. The money's too significant, and it changed the chemistry in your locker room if someone who is just okay is making $40 million.
Yeah, one of the couple different things on this. First of all, happy for Derek Carr. If you've met him, he's literally just a great dude. He's a good leader. He's been thrust into an impossible situation over the last couple years with what's gone on. I mean, this team, look, at they went through a move from Oakland to Vegas. You had all the John Gruden stuff. You had the awful tragedy with Henry Ruggs in the car accident that took a life. I mean, he's been through so many different things there, and he's kind of been the face of the team. He stood there in the middle of all of it and had the team in the postseason last year with the ball in their hands with a chance to beat a team that went on to the Super Bowl. So, look, happy for him. He loved to see good things happen to good people. So good for Derek Carr. I think this sets up really, you know, I'd have to have research look at this, but really something unique in that I think the quarterbacks are locked in this division. And we're not going to see any different faces for the next, I would guess, how long Russell can go. I think Russell's got at least 4 or 5 more years. Herbert's not going anywhere. Mahomes is not going anywhere. Derek now is not going anywhere. And I think Russell's going to be there for a while. So I don't know how long it's been since we've had a division, because usually you have one team that's always, you know, churning. Uh-huh. You know, you think about, okay, Rodgers has been in Green Bay forever. Cousins has been in Minnesota now for a minute. But then Detroit and Minnesota, you know, moving parts. I mean, it's hard to find a division with this type of continuity we're going to have, which is going to make for some unbelievably compelling games here in the future.
Yeah, unbelievably compelling games. Russell Wilson will probably have a contract that is probably coming down the pipe. The interesting thing will be, and one day we'll talk about, I don't have to put you on the spot now because I know you're doing interest, but DJ, how do we rank the quarterbacks in the AFC West? That is going to be a fascinating
off season, brother.
That's off season.
That's an episode.
That's a fascinating discussion, because that division right there, where you have four, I would say, very good to elite quarterbacks in the same division, man, the pecking order. Woo! Yeah. I would not want to be in the AFC if I'm a team builder, because it is tough sledding to get out of the AFC.
No doubt. We're going to get to some other concepts and other thoughts today that I think kind of will play off of what we've just discussed here with this new contract here with Derek Carr. I want to pull up this Raiders team, by the way. When you look at what they've been able to accomplish in the offseason, Devontae Adams, which we're going to get to and some things and how that can impact this upcoming draft. You look at what they did, you know, with the pass rush. When you throw Chandler Jones on the opposite side of Max Crosby, you know, them just staying healthy. This offensive line is pretty solid. You know, they don't have a ton of draft capital, Buck, but this roster is pretty good, man. It's a pretty complete roster they've got right now. And Josh McDaniels, I think, matches, you know, the personnel. Obviously, they give Derek Carr no trade clause. So they're tied into him. He believes he fits what they do. Mm-hmm. We've said it. Hunter Renfro is going to catch a million balls in this offense. You've got Waller. You've got Devontae Adams. It's a lot. It's a lot of talent there, man.
Yeah, a lot of talent. And DJ, the hardest thing to do in pro football is to go from good to great. I believe the Raiders have a chance to do that with the moves that they've made this offseason. There's no doubt in anyone's mind that this is a better football team than the one that trotted out and played the Cincinnati Bengals in the postseason. And when you think about how close that was, that game was, they were in the red zone with a shot to throw it into the end zone to tie the game against a team that went to the Super Bowl. You have an opportunity to now add Devontae Adams to that roster, Chandler Jones to that roster. I mean, you're just a much better team, because I will say this, and I like Max Crosby, but now the attention in that division when you're facing the Raiders goes to Chandler Jones as pass rusher one, Max Crosby as pass rusher two. I think he has a chance to get to double-digit sacks now playing opposite Chandler Jones, because he doesn't get the attention that he was receiving last year, because last year he was the focal point. Yannick Ngakoue was the other guy. The role flips this year for him. And then Devontae Adams, I don't know how you're going to elect to cover the Raiders when you have a healthy Darren Waller, Hunter Renfro, and Devontae Adams. Of the guys that you're going to have to be willing to live with in terms of letting them go off, I think Hunter Renfro may surpass Cooper Kupp's numbers.
He's going to catch the most balls. I think he'll catch more balls next year than Devontae does.
Because if I'm playing them, I cannot let Devontae Adams get loose, and I cannot let Darren Waller get loose. I have to live with Hunter Renfro paper cutting me to death. But you may be laying in a pool of your own blood, because if Derek Carr is willing to be patient and disciplined, he is going to carve up defenses with that. And we didn't even talk about the running game that they can give you with Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, this is a team now. Remember, no first or second round picks. Those are gone with Devontae Adams. They pick at 86 in the third round. They've got a 4. They've got 2 5s and a 7. So that's what the Raiders have to try and upgrade their roster. All right, the bulk of our conversation is getting ready to start here. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with thoughts on how the wide receiver and quarterback market are going to have a huge impact on this draft. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. All right, Buck, I want to jump into some numbers. Always dangerous when we have these numbers conversations, but I want to start, and let's start the conversation with the wideouts, then we'll get to the quarterbacks. I think there's a chance we see quarterbacks leap into this first round. We've talked about the different ideas of, you know, did they all fall? Is this a good quarterback class? Are these guys all second round guys that are getting artificially pushed up? I want to flesh this out a little bit more with numbers, but I want to start first of all with the wideouts and how we've seen this wide receiver market explode, not just in terms of trade compensation, what these teams had to give up. We went over that a couple episodes ago. But when you look at the money, let's look at these new deals. Tyreek Hill, 4-year extension, $120 million, $25.5 million signing bonus on that deal. You look at Devontae Adams, 5 years, $140 million. I mean, $65 million guaranteed. So those averages, just off those year numbers, you know, they spread it out a little bit, but that's 30 and 28 million respectfully there, respectively. Then you look at Christian Kirk, 4 years, $72 million, $37 million guaranteed. So you're talking about around $18 million a year. Now let's go. I went into last year's draft. Okay. And so I want to think about the difference between those players, great players, elite players, versus the alternative option for some of these teams. So let's take the Green Bay Packers. When we look at the Green Bay Packers and their situation, and I know you've been adamant about it. We've talked about it a bunch. They find wideouts later in the draft and maybe they go that route. But when you think about these numbers right here, they pick 22 and they pick 28. If you look at last year, 22 and 28, 22nd pick was a $13.495 million deal over 4 years. That's an average of $3.374 million. The 28th pick was 4 years, $12.525, an average of $3.1 million per year. Now, I'm not saying that whoever they take, whether that's, you know, Treylon Burks or Jahan Dotson, is going to be able to be as good as what you have there in Davante Adams, but you're talking about over $20 million a year in savings. This is not just for this year. This is a four-year contract with this type of cost control, plus you get the fifth-year option. I think this is going to push these wide receivers sky high in this draft. I think we're going to see a record number go in the first round. The other team that has a wide receiver need, the other side of that trade, Tyreek Hill goes. Tyreek Hill, if you look at replacing him with pick 29, that's 4 years, $11.9 million for a 2.9 average. Pick 30, which they own, 4 years, $11.6 million, a 2.9, just over $2.9 million per year. That is peanuts. Peanuts.
So peanuts. So let's talk about this because I feel like we've talked about this a bunch of different times and we've talked about position of value, but to crystallize it, if we talk about bringing economics into it, if this is a case where I heard on record the guys that are making the most money by average is quarterbacks, your offensive tackles, your pass rushers, and now your wide receivers have surpassed the corners.
I think the wide receivers are up there above, the top guys are up above the edge rushers.
Yeah, so and then you still have the corners. DJ, the first round, from an economical standpoint, if we're playing Moneyball, you should only expend first round picks on those positions going forward. Because if you talk about the significant savings, I mean, if I'm sitting here looking at, even if I look at the Packers, and even if the Packers double up, and say they doubled up in the first round, DJ, you're still talking about a $6 million average per year compared to 28. Like, just think about it.
Crazy.
Let's just say in some wild scenario, they were able to get Chris Olave and Treylon Burks, whoever, whatever other receiver you want. Both of those guys still command only a fourth of what Davante Adams is making. You just cycle them out. And so, because you've been good at developing them, I think you can be more aggressive looking at your wide receivers in the first round now if you treat it as such.
All right, I just pulled up. This is an article from end of March. So, you know, we've seen a couple more deals come in. But, you know, those receiver numbers, they spread that out over some years, so that average comes down a little bit. But if you just go highest average by position, Patrick Mahomes is at $45 million for QBs, okay? T.J. Watt is at $28 million with his newer deal with the Steelers. Wide receivers, D-Hop's at $27.3 million. That's more than the highest offensive lineman is Trent Williams at $23 million. So it's past offensive tackles. Aaron Donald is making 22.5 as the most dominant defensive lineman in football. Jalen Ramsey, arguably the best corner, is making 21. Wide receivers, they're crushing those numbers. So that's telling you where teams are valuing in this passing league. The rules are friendly. The quarterbacks are good. You know, you go get premier players. So, man, I'm sitting at that, and I'm looking at teams. You know, give me some of these teams here. The Jets pick 4 and 10. Okay, they went after Tyreek Hill. Let's say that they just say, you know what, we love one of these wideouts, and we don't want to take the chance that they get to pick before we pick at 10. So we're going to lock
him at 4.
We're going to take him at 4, which I think this argument can lead you in that direction. If you don't love the edge rusher, then you could say, okay, well, shoot, I think there's – in terms of value right now, I can put premier receiver up there. Pick 4 last year was Kyle Pitts. It was a 4-year deal with a 32.9 million. So it was 8.2. So you'd be paying your wideout 8.2. It's still almost a $20 million savings from the top wideouts in the league. That's dirt cheap.
It's a savings at the top. And if you think at the top where you have your pick, how many guys up there have really flamed out? Yeah. Like, I mean, we can go all the way back to like John Ross and those guys, but typically the wide receivers that have been taken at the top of the chart.
Sammy Watkins would be the one who didn't quite. He's been an okay player.
Still productive. But even by that measure, an $8 million receiver compared to a $28 million receiver, you're like, okay, we didn't get it. But you know what you always have the option of? If he doesn't give you that, you move on to the next one. Man. Like, you're not tied into it. Like, okay, it's a rental. It's a lease. You move on to the next one and see if you can continue to find it. But I think there's something to that. And if you take that premise and you begin to look at, one, the depth of the wide receivers. Man, hey, I think you have to treat the wide receiver position like you used to say, Noah's Ark.
Yeah.
We're getting on in twos.
Yep.
So take one in the first, take another one in the third. I think you just have to double up. That has to be a position where you invest in, we're just going to keep taking wide receivers because we're going to develop them, because you got to develop them at some point.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's really interesting when you look at those numbers. Another pick there, the Jets. So the Jets at 10 last year, Devontae Smith was an average of $5 million. $5 million a year for the 10th pick. But my thought process would be there. If you love an edge rusher, take him at 4. If your top edge rusher, the guys you like, you don't love them, man, just take the number one receiver in the draft.
Yeah, and come back and do it. We've seen it. Like, DJ, it was controversial when the Bengals took Ja'Marr Chase over Penei Sewell.
How'd that work out?
It worked out very, very well. It worked out very well. And so we're seeing the return on investment from the majority of the wide receivers. Now, it won't be 100% fail-safe that you get the right guy, but
Pull up the Jets. I know you had Nabil help us here. Pull up the Justin Jefferson numbers. What was his contract on there?
It was 4-year, 13.12.
Like, just listen to that. Just listen to that.
$3.2 million average. Huge pick, 22nd. So,
hey, by the way, we had a team that just won the Super Bowl and talked about, you know, screw them picks. I get it. And they hit, they drew like an inside straight in order to get that all to work out, and they nailed it. But man, it's an easier way to go if you can get these guys right.
Yeah, if you can get them right, like, yeah, it's a more cost effective way of building your team. And DJ, I hate to say it, man, but those five positions that we mentioned when it comes to the money,
yeah,
you just gonna have to tell your scouts, hey, like, I love the fact that you get my first round grade or whatever, but
tight end, I love that linebacker, I love that safety, but
we only pick quarterbacks, pass rushers, wideouts, tackles, and corners in the first round. Yeah. That's it. That's all.
Much of a savings. It's not. I think that's what people have got to start wrapping their minds around. Is this is not player versus player. You've got to factor in the cost and the value and the alternative of what it's going to cost you to fill that position. So it's like, well, you know what? I have this player just a little bit higher than that player. Yeah, but man, if I don't take this edge rusher, I'm going to have to go get one in free agency, and it's going to cost me two players on our team that I'm not going to be able to re-sign because how big that number is. If we get hit on the edge rusher here, man, I saved those two guys. It's like you're like lifeboats, man. Like you're throwing life preservers and keeping different guys on your roster when you can hit on some of these dudes.
And the money is relative. And so, like, with the draft bust, we have to get used to, hey, man, we're going to swing and we're going to miss some. But a first round, like, because we're so conditioned to say that, hey, man, if you miss on the first round, it crushes your roster. I mean, yeah, you don't want to have like a complete failure, but if he can be like a functional starter, like, you just can't. Yeah.
At least we're not looking to replace him. We're not looking to replace him. He's got a spot. He's starting. Maybe he's not a blue, you know, but he's a functional starter.
So we've talked about that. You won't lose your job on singles and doubles. You'll lose your job if you strike out.
So that being said, like, you think about our grading scale or the grading scales we were in, like, mine was, if you had a 6-7 player, you don't want to take a 6-1 corner over a 6-7 whatever else. No. But what that does is then you get on the phone and you can move back, hopefully, and try and get a little bit more value there for said player. Obviously, we can't have a first round with just those positions. There aren't enough to go around. So you don't want to sacrifice massive amounts of talent. What we're talking about is if it's relatively close.
If it's close,
you got to lean. Let me give you an example. Like if you looked at, they're different drafts. But if you're locked in, you can't move, and you had Kyle Pitts and Cleveland Farrell there, you'd be like, hey, I got a 7-0 on Kyle Pitts. I got a 61 on Cleve Farrell. Like I can't. I got to take tight end. You know what I mean? That's kind of what we're saying.
Better player.
Yeah,
get a better player.
Let's talk about quarterbacks. Let's look at the quarterback numbers. So this is the same conversation as we switch it over and talk about QBs. You look at some of these teams and where they're picking this year, and it's like, okay, do you consider a quarterback? You know, what do you want to do here? You know, is our veteran quarterback option better than what they have there? And this is what it tweeted out the other day was, it's not your veteran starter. It's not Drew Lock versus this guy, or I should use a better example of somebody who's on a second contract. It's not Ryan Tannehill versus, you know, Kenny Pickett. It's Ryan Tannehill versus Kenny Pickett plus the two or three other players you're going to be able to bring into the fold. You know, that's how you got to compare them. So let's look at, let's just take that team, because I think it's an interesting one, under the radar potential quarterback team. Nobody's talked about Tennessee. Okay, so you look at the Tennessee Titans, they picked 26. So if you look at the 26th pick last year was Greg Newsome. So that would be a four-year, $12.7 million deal. So the average would be $3.187 million for a quarterback. So we could say, okay, Tannehill's a little bit better. I like Tannehill a little bit better there than Kenny Pickett. But Tannehill this year is going to make, the cap number is $38.6 million. If they were to cut him after this year, the cap hit would be $18 million, but they could spread that out, right? You do the post-June cut or what have you. Now you're talking about a massive savings from $38 million to now you're going to have a $3 million charge. You know what you can pay A.J. Brown with that money? You do a lot of different things with that money. And like Tannehill's 34 years old. That was a team last year that, you know, beat everybody in the AFC during the regular season. They had, what, 9 sacks against the Bengals and lost? He turned the ball over 3 times. I mean, I like Ryan Tannehill, but they might be saying, we just got new contracts for the GM and the head coach. We've got security. We don't need this quarterback to come in and play next year. We're going to roll one more year with Tannehill, but then after that, man, we can cut that number all the way down and we can start over and kind of build the rest of that roster up, retain your key guys and see if you can't make a run. I think those are the decisions that people got to be thinking about right now.
Yeah, he's very vulnerable to kind of get that. Oh, I didn't know we were taking a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah. But dude, did you think he was 34? He's 34 years old. Like I still think of Ryan Tannehill like he's 28 or 29. He's going to be 34 years old next season. 34.
What draft class was he in? Was he in Andrew? Like that's Russell Wilson's age.
He was 2012. The 2012.
Yeah, that's the class. That's the Andrew Luck class. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Andrew Luck. Yeah.
Russell Wilson was in that one, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Wow.
But like those are like I'm just throwing the Titans out as an example. There might be who are some other teams you think could potentially sleeper quarterback teams?
Oh, well, see, I don't know if it's a sleeper. When I went down and I looked at the draft order, right, and you look at the teams, like they're not teams that I'm like, okay, like you had the Cardinals.
There's none really down there in the bottom.
No. But when I go to the top of the second round.
Yeah, give me those
teams. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the teams and I'm looking at the Seattle Seahawks have picks 40 and 41. So if it doesn't go the way we think, they could easily get back in the first round and get the quarterback they want if he's up there.
Yeah.
Texans won't do it. Jets won't do it. Jets have 2 picks up there. Detroit, Chicago, Atlanta is there. Cleveland. Minnesota has 46, but they took a guy last year. The Commanders.
Yeah, but Minnesota has new leadership. And I know they just extended Kirk, so maybe that's not a great example.
They don't have anything. The Commanders are the only team.
I mean, yeah, I think of all those teams, doesn't Tennessee is the one that I would – that's the one I think I would look at and say, I wouldn't sleep. I wouldn't totally sleep on that one.
They're the only one. DJ, they're the only one because after you get the Pips of Saints or whatever, they're the only one, which is why, man, these quarterbacks, they go on a slide for a little bit.
Yeah, I think you could make an argument that they go on a slide, and I think you could make
an argument
for some of these other teams that maybe they go up, you know.
It'd be interesting, but that Tennessee thing is one. Yeah, 34-year-old.
You know who would make a lot of sense. Carolina is at 6. Okay, Carolina again. They pick in front of the Giants at 7, who are kind of an offensive line, defensive line team for their needs. Atlanta is got a blinking wide receiver need, right? So everybody's been putting a wide out there. You also look at the Seattle is a offensive line team, and the Jets could be a receiver team. So if the Jets don't go receiver at 4, where Carolina is picking, if you're a team that loves a receiver or loves a tackle, even though I could say Carolina has a need at tackle and the need at quarterback, I think that them not having second or third round picks, they don't pick again until pick 137. Man, I think they would be trying like crazy to get out of there. And then if they can get out of there and get a little extra sugar, even if they went back into the teens, like even to the early 20s, to get, you know, some other picks, which would free them up to A, take a quarterback, and maybe a little bit, you feel a little bit better about the value of where you get them, and then still be able to pick up an offensive lineman or, you know, some other needs they may have on their roster later on. I think that would be, you know, that would be a team from a trade back standpoint that just makes a ton of sense. And I would position it as, hey, you want the wideout or a lineman? This is where you got to go to get in front of the Giants, the Falcons, the Seahawks, and the Jets.
I think the thing about it, then it goes back to the players and how do you grade the players, the quarterback clusters.
Yeah.
How tight are the clusters where if you say, hey, let's move from 6 to, well, I'll just throw 15. Do I feel good enough about who potentially could be there? Like we may miss out on whoever, Kenny Peckin, Malik Willis, or whatever, but like, it doesn't matter. At 15, we'll take this guy. Or, you know, Carolina's tricky because I'm like, I know they talk about wanting to get in the market. But DJ, like, are you 100% convinced that Kenny Pickett is going to be he's going to beat out Sam Darnold in training camp?
But I think you could look at it and say, again, that same argument of what Sam costs and you only got one more year of Sam. And you could say, okay, this is, it'd be more of a long-term play. My thing is, if I were them, I wouldn't want just a long-term play. I would want to get somebody to come in and help me now at another position that can start, and then I would want to have Kenny Pickett stashed. And then if he beats out Sam, great. If not, it's close enough. Next year, Sam walks, and then Kenny gets the job, and we have other resources to fill in around him. You have a quarterback in the pipeline, but I don't want just Kenny Pickett. So if you take him at 6, you get just Kenny Pickett. If you could somehow get out of there, get Kenny Pickett plus – a second or third round pick who can come in and play and contribute right away. It's like, what is it? Like Disney Plus? I want Kenny Plus. That's what I want.
You want Kenny Plus. You want some other things what is it? The Disney Pass where you can go.
Yeah, I want the bundle.
As much as you want the bundle. You can go. And then what is the thing where you can go to the front of the line?
You get a fast pass.
Fast pass. I figured that's how you probably operate there. You're not waiting in line.
No, I never think of that. I always get to the amusement park and I always see those jerks and fast pass. And I go, dang it, I forgot that. I should have done that. You know, I'm sitting waiting this line for an hour and a half for a 30-second ride. But, you know, look at, you know, a team that's kind of got a sneaky amount of ammunition. It's weird how it's situated. But the Ravens have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fourth round picks. They could easily, like say you're the Ravens at 14. And they have, you know, they pick second round 45, third round 76, third round 100. They've got a ton of ammunition. If let's just give an example of a player like Sauce Gardner, for example. If Sauce Gardner was there at, you know, where the Panthers are picking at 6, did the Ravens say, man, we love corners. We can go get a big, long, physical, athletic, rangy corner. Like maybe that's a partner for them. And then you're talking about Kenny Pickett at pick 14 plus whatever you get in that trade. We're just making it happen here, Buck. We're trying to solve problems here today.
It's funny because you're trying to solve problems. I don't want to get in trouble from the Ravens flock, but you talk about a sneaky quarterback team.
Oh, gosh. Uh-oh. Hold on. Let me.
DJ. Okay, listen.
Whew.
Hear me out for a minute. MVP player.
At Bucky Brooks. It's at Bucky Brooks. Go ahead.
MVP player. Right now, we can't get him to do a contract.
Yeah.
The price is just going up. It's through the roof right now. Ownership and everybody has acknowledged that it's through the roof. Can't get a deal done, dude. We can't get a deal done. I can't even get him at $45 million annually.
Are you going to take Malik? You going to take Malik and just run it back? Different style runners. Different style runners.
I'm just saying different style. Like we said,
he's got a different gear in his arm, though. I mean, he's got a different level arm strength now.
But now, remember, we said sneaky quarterback team. So you have Tennessee.
So I gave you the Titans. Man, you might have just one up me here.
Sneaky quarterback. I fell into it because we started talking about it. And I started thinking like, hey, 14 sitting there. Can't get a quarterback done.
You know what else you do if you take Malik Willis there? You keep him out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I mean, Lamar Jackson's won an MVP. I don't want to act like we're oblivious to this or slighting him. He's an unbelievable talent. But if they're not getting a deal done, you're having this discussion is what we're getting to.
If we can't get a deal done and he's shown no inkling to want to go back to the table, everyone is saying like, oh, we can do this. We can take the franchise tag. That's still $33, $34 million. Then you have to do another franchise tag. Then he's completely free. But if we don't want to play the game and we want to take the leverage back, they take the leverage back by getting the quarterback. But what if it turns into the debt? What if it turns into the Jordan Love deal? What if it turns into the Jordan Love deal?
He lights him up and he gets going and plays MVP level football again. Shoot, take that.
I'm just saying.
Just make sure when they clip this off that they play this in its entirety. Okay, don't stop before we give Lamar his flowers. Okay, because clipped off. We're taking a holistic 30,000 foot view here of the Baltimore Ravens situation.
But DJ, look. I got in trouble last year. I got in trouble last year by saying they should let him graduate, right? Yeah. They should let him graduate. But that was under the assumption that, okay, they let him graduate, whatever. We're still at the same spot where we don't have a deal done.
Yeah.
He's not coming back off the MVP season, which changes the evaluation. And he's also coming off an injury, which also changes the thing. And I've been one of the biggest advocates for Lamar Jackson. But let's just make it a business decision. If we're making it a business decision, you now have to weigh the pros and cons of, do I want to wait and have to pay over $50 million for Lamar Jackson when we finally get him to the table? Or do we want to have a plan in place where young quarterback?
And then you want to know what the 14th pick cost last year to kind of bring this whole thing all together? The 14th pick last year was a 4-year deal for $15.8 million with an average of $3.9 million a year. So I don't know what's going on with their negotiations, but say Lamar says, hey, Aaron Rodgers is $50 million. I'm younger. I've won MVP as well. I want $50 million. You're talking about a savings of $46 million on your cap. The cap number, I shouldn't say cap because they can lower that number, but just in terms of what you're putting out, and oh my gosh, $46 million a year. Cheaper.
Okay, not even that. Let's do it this way because it won't even do. And let's just say fully guaranteed. So you know when you do fully guaranteed, that money has to go in escrow right away.
Yeah.
As soon as the deal is done. So $230 million. Let's just say he wants $300 million guaranteed based on his resume compared to Deshaun Watson's resume.
Yeah.
Steep shot. I mean that's what we're talking about though. We're talking about real money.
Yeah.
And so if it's one of those things and. If you talk about the Disney Plus package.
Yeah. Oh, that's plus, plus. That's a big bundle. That's a big bundle of Malik Willis plus, 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 plus.
I'm just saying that I got all the Baltimore mad at me. My son gets mad at me because like, you need to go easy on Lamar Jackson. I said, look, I'm not being a hater. I'm just saying, let's just look at the economics and the dollars and cents of it. If you do it, you get Malik Willis, plus you have the money to then dole out on all these other pieces.
Yeah. Can you imagine quarterback power with, you know, what they want to do, that stuff with that big Malik Willis, that big dude coming downhill? Good night.
You know, if we want to, we still got Tyler Huntley. We still have him on the roster.
So why don't you just go all the way in, push yourself all the way in here so you can just get all the hate, right? So why don't you just go ahead and trade Lamar Jackson then? Why don't you just go ahead and get the trade done? Tell me where he's going. We're going to trade Lamar to Seattle. What are we doing here? What we got going on here?
No, I'm not trading. I'm saying in that discussion, DJ, we're not doing our due diligence if we don't have.
That's the last thing. That's the last straw for this offseason. Like, this offseason has been bonkers, right? All the stuff, the craziest stuff. All we're missing now is that, like, the surprise morning of the draft, Lamar Jackson's been traded to the Seattle Seahawks, and everybody just, you know, we say that with no information whatsoever. So don't run with that. But I'm just sitting here going, like, that would be the craziest thing, man. It would be crazy. And I, selfishly, I root for that type of chaos because it makes for a fun event. But all right, we've gone completely off the rails today. Completely.
I know, but
how fun is that though?
I know, but I would get stuck if I say, like, Bucky Brooks suggests that the Ravens go for Malik Willis plus.
Yeah.
To take this show on the thing. Even though there's some credibility, because the Malik Willis plus package,
yeah,
might be some prime viewing.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. All right, dude. That was a fun episode, man. Anything else you want to get to before we get out of here?
No, I just can't wait to see this over the next 24 hours. Oh,
you're gonna get innovation comes back. I'm just hoping that that shrapnel doesn't make its way over to me. it will. It will. By the way,
I saw you get some today on the Karloftis Ryan Kerrigan comparison.
I get crushed on the white guy comp, and I'm like, come on, man! Like, they're both not. They have the same body type. They are the same. They're similar athletes. They're both power rushers. They both play hard. They both went to the same school, for crying out loud. They're both friends. Like, is that the craziest comp? I mean, come on, man! Come on. Yeah, I get it. Anytime you do comps, you're gonna get crushed on that stuff, man. But I do think it's helpful. The one that I was looking at, because I've been working on this, but I want to get your thoughts on this before we get out of here. So I'd never used that comp before with Kayvon Thibodeau, but I thought Sean Merriman coming out had some similarities there. Kind of, they're a little bit tightly wound, but they're, you know, explosive, got some power. They're similar size. And you know who liked the comp? Sean Merriman.
Did he?
For all the grief I get on comps, Sean Merriman was like, I see that.
That's funny. So you remember that year was controversial because it was Sean Merriman and DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah.
Cowboys took DeMarcus Ware over Sean Merriman. Now, for the first 3 years of the deal, Sean Merriman was
he was rolling. Yeah.
Animal.
Yep.
An animal. Yeah. I mean, he was a monster. And the thing is, the games are a little different because Merriman was a little more power, but Kayvon Thibodeau could certainly make an impact. Like, yeah. I mean, he can certainly make an impact right away. And I do think there's been a little overcorrection and that stuff. But make no mistake, he still can be a dominant player off the edge. I do like the comparison, though.
Yeah, there you go. All right, man. Anything else you want to get to before we get out of here?
Nah, that's it. Are you on PATH today?
Yeah, I'm on PATH. I'm doing it from home. Are you going in or are you at home?
Oh, I got to go. I got to go in.
I'm home. I'm home on Wednesdays, off on Fridays. So I'll be back up there Thursday. You go on Thursday?
Yeah, I'm there.
All right. I'll see you there. All right, man. Good stuff. Thanks, Buck. Thank you, Nabil. Best producer in the business. We'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.